listener production. A pinch and a punch for the first of the month.
How old are you, like 10?
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Catching the bus, Alex Dyson, to the city the other day.
That's how we do.
Yeah, mate, you use it or lose it. You know what I say. Mm-hmm. You've got to use this to public transport systems. That's when they actually come. Because I was waiting like way long for this bus. I'm like, God damn it. Mm. And it finally turns up about 15 minutes late. The bus pulls up. The guy refuses to open the doors. I'm like, I'm standing there going, come on, let me out. And he's talking to everyone on the bus. And then eventually he opens the doors and I go to step on. He goes, stop, don't get on. And he goes, all right, everyone off. I'm running so late that there is a bus behind me. You all catch that bus. I'm going straight to the depot. And so just bailed.
Is that allowed?
I don't know. I was like, bravo, you're just so late that you're just given up.
Yeah, there's no point. You're stuck in traffic for so long. You just hit the indicator, chuck a Yui back home. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so then suddenly we're all just on the next bus. And then people like, they had babies and stuff. They're like, I've never had this happen before.
Yeah, damn.
So anyway, shout out to all the quitters out there. Well done. We've got a big show. Big Wednesday show.
Although, you know, I'm feeling it. Maybe we just don't do it today. What do you reckon, Bron? Should we just call it?
Just call it.
Yeah, look.
The show's peaked already.
There's like 1,000 other episodes behind us. Just listen to one of those. We're hitting the depot. No. We've got a big show. We've got a big show. Actually, I'm going to tell you something. Speaking of Brizzy, I have got an exclusive experience that I have had, Daiso, which a little hair-raisingly exciting dining experience that could have left me well and truly bankrupt.
We're also talking about a few traffic stoppers out there. It should be good. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Everyone ready? Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Did I tell you about my fancy dinner, Alex Dyson?
You're always having a fancy dinner.
This is one of the fanciest.
How big did we go? Are we talking pineapple hotel, pineapple fried rice there? I went to a place and they did a fried rice in like a half hollowed out pineapple. Now that's fancy.
Was this in the 80s?
No, I was in Haymarket in Sydney. So
this place is a place called Katsuya. Okay. And it is in Brisbane. 6 seats.
In the restaurant.
This restaurant has 6 seats.
Good luck taking your volleyball team. Damn.
I requested to dine. Like you can only eat by referral only.
No. What? Someone needs to say, yeah, this person is fine to come to your restaurant.
Yes. Okay. So I have been madly trying to figure out who I know so I can get to this place, right?
Who'd you hit up?
Well, okay. So do you know, I noticed that Maddie Groves, do you know the swimmer?
No.
Okay, so Maddie Groves, Brisbane swimmer, she was following it. So I messaged her and I'm like, oi.
No. Do you know her?
We follow each other on Instagram.
Right.
So I was like, oi, can you refer me? And she's like, no, I can't.
She just follows it like you, on the outside, looking in through the window.
Yeah, she's like, I'm trying to get a referral. And I'm like, okay, so anyways. Eventually, I see them post on Instagram.
Can I just ask, is Belinda, your partner, involved in going for a meal with you in any way?
Okay, so
is it just Matt just out for his own little bit of time?
No, so excuse me. I messaged them on Instagram saying, please, please, I'm begging you. They said bookings are open for 2024. This was in October last year.
Okay.
Right, the 1st of October. They go, bookings are open for next year. I message, please, I'm begging you.
I don't have a referral, but
I don't have a referral, but I am of good character, I promise. You should have seen the groveling Instagram message I wrote. Anyways.
Oh, just an absolutely filthy DM slide from Ocon.
So eventually they get back, they get in touch with me. Sure, I can accommodate you on the 25th of April, 2024. 6 months away. And I was like, done, deal, I'm in.
Anzac Day night.
Yep. I'm like, it's locked.
Yep.
So then I tell Belinda, hey, by the way, we have to do this thing now.
Okay.
And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, this is 6 seat restaurant. We got to go. So anyway, I'm like, well, this is 6 months in the making. Belle's like, hey, how much does this place cost? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm too scared to ask. Okay.
I wasn't prepared for that in my groveling.
I didn't want to.
You can't grovel and also inquire about the price.
Exactly. I don't want him to be like, oh, if money is an issue, then we're not interested in this. So I was like, no, please, please, I'll pay anything.
What makes it so good? The fact that it just has six seats?
Well, it's just this little sort of personal dining experience. It's just the chef. There's no waiter or anything like that. It's just the chef. Everything they post on their Instagram looks absolutely top notch. Like, it just looks so good. It's an intimate experience. So I was like, okay, cool. I really want to be a part of this. Anyways, Belinda keeps going, just ask how much it is. And I'm like, no, I will refuse.
So you won't know until you go to tap at the end.
No. When we get there, he pulls out this tray of like, he's like, this is 3-week dry aged, salmon from New Zealand. This is kingfish dry aged. He pulls out this A5 grade marble, 11 plus marbling Wagyu, right? Which is basically the whole thing just looks like it's like marble, right? Then he pulls out the cow's birth certificate.
Wait, is this a Matokan joke?
No, he pulls out the birth certificate. He's like,
the
this
birth
cow, this
certificate?
Is...
What about the death certificate, mate? We know it's been born. I didn't have any qualms about it being born.
It had its nose print on the certificate. Because apparently the nose is like a fingerprint.
You're going on, you're saying you're about to eat an animal. A sacred animal's given its life, and you're rubbing it in by showing this was its nose when it was alive at birth.
It's just to say that this is
born and had hopes and dreams.
He said this is definitely a like the grade that I am saying it is, etc. Okay.
Wow. You don't go like if you're out for dinner with some cannibals. Imagine going and showing the little kindergarten finger painting project.
Hey, you know, come on. Come on.
Awful.
All right. All right.
Jeez.
Off you hop. Now, to be honest, it all looked incredible.
Okay.
And I was so excited. So he's whipping up one of the first dishes, right? Mm-hmm. And Belinda's still like, how much do you think this is going to cost? And we're like doing a bit of whispering, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm going to tap out.
Who else is in there? Who are the other four people in there with you?
Was so weird because like everyone was obviously a foodie because we had a few conversations about like which restaurants we'd been to and stuff like that.
Okay.
But the couple that was sitting next to us, they were just like literally, they spent so much of the dinner on their phone. Like at one point I was I looked across and the guy was just like closing the apps on his phone. You know what I mean? Like he was watching TikToks at one point. I'm like, bro, we've got a cow's birth certificate here. Is this not a thing you want to be paying attention to? Like, this is... He was just full-blown, like, scrolling.
Yeah, usually you start closing the apps when you've got nothing else to do on your phone. You've done it all.
Exactly.
What else can I do on this thing? Oh, I guess I should close the apps every once in a while.
He's just closing the apps. I'm like, man, this is... What's going on here? So then... We comes to the salmon dish.
Yeah.
Because there's about 9 dishes all up.
They have a little gill imprint on the birth certificate there.
Well, anyways, he whips out some caviar, right? And he's like, see this caviar?
No birth
this
certificates
is the
there.
The best caviar you will find in Australia.
Okay.
Right? He goes, for 1 gram of this caviar, $6 per gram. And then he whips up, then he puts a little, then he gets a little teaspoon of it. You're right. He goes, see this? This is about 30 grams, about $180 market price for this caviar. Then proceeds to just put a 2 teaspoon on each person's dish. And I'm like, oh my God, we are in so much trouble. If he's just put $180 worth of caviar on that dish, how much does everything else cost?
And is that market price?
Yes, he was like,
he's getting
price.
It wholesale. What's he selling it to you? What's the markup?
Well, he said, I'm not giving it to you for that price, but he said market price is $6 per gram. This would be $180, which it checks out. If you look up like, you know, a good quality caviar, it absolutely could easily be $200 for 30 grams, $180 for 30 grams. So I was like, at this point I was like, you know what? I may have to sleep here tonight and like... Do the dishes. I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
And meanwhile, old mate next to me still just scrolling TikTok, being like barely looking up.
Whatever.
When the $180 worth of caviar's going on the plate. Anyway, we do go through it all. It was incredible. He's like, I serve sake too. And I'm like, oh, cool. Can I have a glass of that? He's like, no worries. Then he pulls out a box of like this. He's like, I imported it from Japan. He pulls out a box, cracks it open. I'm like, no, I just want a glass. I don't want the whole bottle. I just saw dollar signs just flying in front of me.
That would be a lot of yen.
I have to say, definitely a lot of yen. I have to say, it was an absolutely incredible meal. An incredible experience.
Don't stop doing that. Give the people what they want. What was the damage, mate?
It was $650 for both of us. Okay, so it was actually
$300 a person.
$325 each.
Okay, I was expecting more.
So I know, I was expecting more too. And that is the appeal of the restaurant. He actually does it at cost, apparently. So like he does it as more of a hobby than a business venture, which is why he has six people and it's like
himself,
a little personal experience. Yeah, I know, but what I mean is it's not like, anyways, overall, I was okay. We walked out alive.
Yep.
Extremely full, extremely satisfied. You better believe I'm going to be going back again as soon as those bookings open on October 1st.
So now that you've been, do you have the power to recommend?
Do I ever? Oh, I feel sick with power.
How many people can you recommend? Every all-day breakfast listener who feels like $180 worth of caviar?
I'll just wait and see who I want to give this little treat to, Alex Dyson.
Should be a competition, like win a crumb bag and a recommendation to spend $300.
I don't want to open the DMs because there's going to be some slippery slopes.
Oh, now you're too good for a slippery DM. Righto. You can give, but you can't take. That's your problem, O'Kine. You can send out an absolute dirty knee slide, but as soon as they start landing at the bottom of the slippery dip into your inbox, suddenly you're too good. No, my friend, not good enough.
Anyways, shout out to Katsu from Katsuya's. Absolutely loved it. Thank you very much. Let's move on with the show.
I smell toast.
Alex Dyson, I was at the airport just recently and I heard a song come over the radio, you know, or the cafe that I was in.
All right, in a cafe, the speakers above you, playing some tuneskies.
Oh, look, I wasn't in the cafe. I was in the lounge. I just wanted to sound like a normal person, but I wasn't. I was in a lounge. I can't lie anymore, you know what I mean?
All right, you're in your luxurious
lounge,
high quality audio and pumping over the. You sure it was the speakers? There wasn't a symphony orchestra just there, a quartet in the corner.
No.
Playing some classical music for you.
No. They were getting their shoes shined, I believe, at the little stall there that they sometimes have.
A little cobbler.
I'm not joking.
Wait, there was a shoe shiner
there.
Have
you seen the shoe shiner at the lounge? I've seen that before.
No.
Yeah, it feels off.
You're walking back to a different century. Was it a 12-year-old kid with like coal on his face from the shoe polish with the lead in it?
Well, why do you think I was in the lounge, mate? I was the one who had to do the shining, mate. Come on, they don't let the comedians in for no reason. Got to work for that free sandwich. Anyways, I was in the lounge and heard a song.
Yep.
And I believe it was a cover of Jeff Buckley's Lover, You Should Have Come Over.
Okay.
And suddenly I was just hit with this nostalgia, right? Deep, deep nostalgia. Because when I was in year 8, I got given the Jeff Buckley Grace album for my birthday.
It's an iconic album, iconic
really
cover,
is.
Him with the microphone.
Yeah.
There, very close up shot.
Last Goodbye, Grace, Mojo Pin, some really good tracks. And Lover, You Should
Have Come Over.
Oh, was that one? Mojo Pin, it's the first track. Tried to play it on guitar anyway. I'm the only one who cares about that one. But
Hallelujah is probably the one. Did you mention that one? Okay. I would probably put that above Mojo Pin just in the public zeitgeist, but yes,
anyways,
continue.
And Lover You Should Have Come Over was one. And the reason why it stirred up so many memories is because it sent me straight back to the day where me and my high school girlfriend, my very first girlfriend, Emily, decided to call it a day on our relationship.
Oh, whoa. That was the soundtrack.
And I went home that day and I lay on my bed and I felt all of the feelings just draining out of me as I was furious with myself.
Okay, I just need to picture this. So it's high school Matt. You listen to the song where with her?
I hadn't listened to the song with her at all.
Oh, so you were back on your bed and this song
played.
Yeah,
I got home and went, how do I deal with this? Okay. You know?
You put on Jeff. You know, went to see Dr. Jeff. And I put that on.
And I put it on repeat. When it got to the end, I just put it back on again and I just felt. Okay.
What posters are on the wall at this point?
I'm pretty sure I still had motorcycle curtains. like a guy riding motorcycles.
For curtains? What? I was bedspread, maybe. Yeah, was motorbike rider curtains?
I'm pretty sure I had Charlie Brown bedspread. So, peanuts. you know, Snoopy.
Is your year six girlfriend?
It was year eight, thank you very much. I hadn't done the upgrade yet. I hadn't thought that it was, you know, silly to have that stuff yet.
Yeah.
And I just felt so much. And I was furious. I was so disappointed that we weren't able to make our three-week relationship last. 3 weeks.
I wonder if Jeff wrote that about a three-week relationship. What was the problem? Why? What was making you pause the friction in the relationship? We didn't talk to each other.
She sat at a different bench. I mean, I was at my bench.
Oh, man. How could this work? She's sitting at a different bench. What can I do? Oh, no.
And we went on our one date to A Bug's Life where I took my skateboard. And it just didn't work. And eventually we had to, you know.
Who called it? Who made the call?
It was a consensual uncoupling. A conscious uncoupling.
And consensual.
I believe that the girl who had introduced me to Emily, Helen, was in my class, and Emily was in a different class. Mm-hmm. And I had said, you know, Helen had said, you know, what's going on with you and Emily? And I'd noticed there was something up. Mm-hmm. You know, the not talking.
Different bench sitting.
Yeah, it was a big indication. I said, yeah, I think I'm going to need to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Can you please tell her that I want to talk to her? So then Helen.
The high school middlemen and women.
Give yourself
of Australia.
A clap,
I mean. Can we just give a round of applause for any, you know, mediator in high school relationships?
Yeah. So she got Emily.
Can I just shout out to my mate Trav, who went and broke up with Kate for me, like in year eight? Just Trav, you're the real MVP, mate. That was
so have you
really
done-
good. It was really nice of him to do that for me.
So, okay. Well,
that's a good thing. Like, when do we forget how to delegate in this world? You know, that's the key to a good company,
so
delegation.
How did you mourn? What was that? Was that your first relationship?
Well, I didn't want to be. I got talked into the relationship. I got convinced into it. I hadn't had a girlfriend. It's like, well, you got to try and have a girlfriend. How do you know you won't like it if you don't try? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess. I think Jenna was on the way in, was the mediator on the way in.
Oh, yeah.
Trav on the way out.
Okay,
yeah.
And did you mourn at all, or were you just straight on the
100%
Nintendo?
100% relief. Because, no, it wasn't anything bad, but I was just like, I wasn't ready.
You just wanted to play handball at lunch. You don't want to have to talk.
Exactly. We sat in the canteen and watched Rage. And then other people like, you guys should hold hands. And I'm like, yeah, right. It was delegation there. We were but puppets to our entire year level. So how you should act in this relationship.
Well, look, we asked you, how did you mourn your first high school breakup?
Mm.
Tennille said, I repeatedly listened to Riding Solo by Jason Derulo.
Yes. Yes, Tennille. I'm riding solo. I mean, it spelt out your new life so great, Tennille. Mel said, I was devastated, but it helped me win in my javelin competition for regionals in year 12. What, you were angry? And so you threw a javelin further?
No, I think you just wanted to show, like, you've just given up. You've just let Southeast New South Wales's best javelin thrower away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you know that.
Jeez. That is tough stuff. Chloe, I got deep into the Twilight book series. Mm, oh, yeah.
Fair enough. Going for the, what is it, Edward or?
Edward and who was the other guy?
Jacob or Edward, Jacob. Yeah. Just fantasizing about a couple of bloodsuckers.
It reminds me of a story that a mutual friend of ours said. I think he was going through a breakup with his partner and she was in the car. He was in the car. It was raining outside. It's at night. And they finally said their last goodbye and he walked out of the car. And this, they got back together after this for a while afterwards. But at the time, walking away for the last time, and she was sitting there looking in the rear vision mirror as he's walking away, and the Foo Fighters came on the radio and it was going, "There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes." Just like, oh, tears. Oh, no. Dear, oh, dear.
Well, Alex Dyson, while I shamefully admitted, you know, my story regarding where I heard Jeff Buckley's "Lover, You Should Have Come Over" was not, in fact, at the airport cafe. It was in the lounge.
They serve coffee. It's the same thing.
I have to also admit that I got to the airport via way of limousine.
Okay? No, mate.
I'm sorry.
So you can tell a story. I took a car to the airport and then just went to the cafes. And I took a limousine to the airport and had my lunch in the lounge.
Okay, listen, wow. Listen.
Now, when you first started Triple J, all your stories were just street, working at the wine call shop, you know.
The call center, yeah.
Filling up your petrol with like $2.40 because that's what you had in change. What are your anecdotes now? How can you sleep at night? No, actually, don't answer that because it's probably some posturpedic, you know, expensive king size. What emperor size? What's bigger than a king?
Well, let's just say thank you, koala. No, really, they gave me a very nice pillow. A very nice pillow. All right. Anyways.
A limo to the airport. Righto, here we go.
I don't want you to think this happens all the time. I'm still at this stage. Like, I mean, you talk to some of these radio, you know, hot shots, mate, they wouldn't know what a bus looks like, okay?
True.
We're still on the buses.
We're still in the podcast world. We're not in the, what did Kyla Jackie O get? 200 mil?
Yeah, well, I still catch public transport
wherever
I can. He
takes a monster truck to work.
I still take public transport wherever I can. But if someone for a job says you got to be in Melbourne at so-and-so time, the limo will be there in the morning. Well, I'm not going to say, soz, mate, just drop me at the nearest bus stop. Okay, I'm gonna say, all right. And also,
how stretch are we talking?
No, it wasn't a stretch. It was just one of those luxury black cars. Super. Yeah, no, it wasn't a stretch limo.
So you didn't get into a pink Hummer. With like 10 people going to their formal.
No, I mean, look, it's just the come me in the middle. Can I have some of that sparkling, guys? Are you Sarah's dad? No. Look, it was just an extremely nice car. You know, when it's like, it's not just the, you know, your standard, it's the very nice, the very nice car. Too nice. Yeah, there's buttons there where you can do the reclining seat, you know, footrests and everything.
Massaging seats.
TVs and stuff. I don't know. I was too scared to touch anything.
Yeah.
I just sat there. I was like, I'm not getting my money's worth in any of this. And it's also at the point I was kind of like, I wish they'd just given me the money and I could have just, caught a bus. Like I would have been okay with that. You know, this is a waste for someone like me.
Yeah.
But no, very thankful. And but anyways, we were driving near this sort of little curb area in the airport. You know, it gets the lanes sort of when you're driving into the airport.
It was pick up,
waiting for boom gates and stuff like that.
Signs,
yeah, exactly.
Everywhere, yep.
And then the driver's driving in and suddenly the car just cranks to a stop, right? Boom. And I'm like, oh my God, did you hit something? And he's like, No. There's sensors all around the car that like pick up if you're too close. It thinks I might have was about to hit a gutter, so it just stopped the car. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of
the old automation on cars.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, no. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but also it's like,
scary.
Feels like a little bit annoying. And he was like, oh, well, yeah, it was really funny because yesterday I was trying to reverse out of somewhere and he'd sort of semi-reversed out and the car had stopped.
Yeah.
But he was like, I'm not near a gutter or anything. I don't know what's going on. And he had traffic backing up and people start beeping him going like, what are you doing? And of course, he's in this fancy car and he's trying to back up and he's not moving and people are beeping and the traffic is starting to pile up. This is outside a service station near the airport.
So he's halfway out of a park and he's blocking
people
the road
are like
now.
Trying, he's blocking the road and people are getting angry and it's all the thing. And he's like, and he starts going, I don't know what's going on. And then another driver who'd watched him had to run over and like tap on his window and go, you've got a B on the sensor. So it's like standstill traffic of everyone around him, like beeping and stuff, because this B had just decided to go and land directly on the little sensor. And the car's like, we're about to hit something!
And would refuse to let him move because a bee was on the sensor. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it did make me think.
That's what the bee, like the bee was playing a video game and like the car was the big boss. And you know how like a little circle comes up around its vulnerable sections? You're like, how am I meant to beat this dragon? It's massive. A little circle in its armpit. It's like, hit him in there with the arrow. The bee's so, done that for this whatever car.
And this thing's absolutely conquered, man. Like people are beeping and everything. So, yeah, it did make me think, you know, why have you stopped traffic?
Well, damn, my buddy stepped out in a new suit the other day. Woo, you should have seen the traffic. Absolute heads turning, rubbernecking everywhere. It's unbelievable. But as far as your your responses go, we've got Casey on the line. Casey, when have you stopped traffic?
Well, it was a while ago now, but I will never forget it. Day after the big day out in, I think, 2005.
Ooh, the Killers? Muse?
Oh, geez, you got a good memory.
The Chemical Brothers.
Oh, it might have been 06 I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, Chemical Brothers in the Streets. So first time I saw the Streets, which was amazing.
I remember it vividly.
So, yes, we were very under the weather the next day. And I'm pretty sure I had to get to work that afternoon. And so we had to get from the Gold Coast to Coffs Harbour that day. Mm-hmm.
So and you'd had the big day out. It was the big morning after and you had to get down to Coffs before work.
Yes. So we stopped at the petrol station to get some supplies and I just kind of stopped kind of the side of the petrol station and the car's kind of pointing to the highway. And as I've gotten out of the car and locked it and closed the door, the car just starts rolling down to the highway.
No.
Forgot the handbrake.
I worry about
forgot
this
the handbrake.
All the time, Casey.
Me too, particularly now those little, it's got a little button in a lot of modern cars anymore. It's not that real like yanking the lever up and you can say that's not going anywhere.
So, Casey, you just see your car start rolling. Did you start running?
I did, and I don't know why, but I thought I'd throw myself at the car and stop it with my brute strength.
Did you try and get behind it to stop it, or you were just trying to sort of pull it?
I was kind of like to the side, front, like kind of, I don't even know, but I was like throwing myself at the windscreen essentially, and I ran over my foot.
Oh, no!
Casey! And so, but you're... What's going through your head in that moment is, oh, no, the highway's there.
Yeah.
This car is going to go across the highway.
Yeah, and people had already started, like, beeping me and yelling. And it was just, like, it was awful. And, like, there was kind of a divot, like a gutter kind of.
Yep.
And so it's kind of gone to the gutter and started to go up into the highway and cars are, like, trying to get out of the way and it was so chaotic. But
and you're still hanging off.
I kind of gave up.
Let it go through the gutter and you go, this is it.
Bit of frozen, let it go. Yeah, just watch it crash through. Did anyone run into it?
No. So the gutter kind of, as it was going up, it kind of, because it was a tiny little, I don't know, bright pink Toyota Corolla, it didn't have the power to get kind of keep going. And so it just kind of rolled back and forth in this gutter a few times.
Oh, thank God.
People were able to kind of go around and like keep going about their day. And I was able to kind of scurry over and get it out of the way. But it was.
So you could get it. You could get back into it. You hadn't like locked yourself out or anything. You just had to,
no,
you had to just jump back in and
the
then,
keys.
And then drive it out of there.
whilst shaking and like having abuse hurled at me. And yeah, I'll never forget it. It was wild.
Goodness gracious. Well, Casey, thank you very much for sharing your story. Glad it ended okay. And I don't know, you still got the hot pink car?
No, I don't think it lasted long after that. It was cursed, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
you want to get rid of those memories.
As the streets would say, yeah. Don't mug yourself. Thank you very much, Casey.
Thanks, guys. Love your work.
And thank you for listening to All Day Breakfast today. Really appreciate you hanging out with us once again. Good news is we've got a sweet little episode for you tomorrow as well.
We'll catch you then. Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.